Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and love from the Lord Jesus. Amen. The text is from Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is the text. My dear brother and sister, we do not know who wrote the book of Hebrews. There is only speculation. He didn't leave a name behind like most of the other writers did. A professor of mine always thought it was one of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus. They were trained in all things that were relevant to Jewish tradition and religion, history. They knew it all, and they had been with Jesus for 3 years, on and off. They were not part of the group of 12 disciples, but when they left, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "Are you the only one that doesn't know what's going on?" And they told him about the crucifixion and how Jesus had promised to resurrect, but this is already the third day and we haven't heard anything yet. They were quite despondent and disappointed. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus opened the scriptures for them, beginning with Isaiah and the prophets, Moses and the prophets. He laid it all plain to them. Well, if Jesus explains scriptures to you, you would have a doctorate instantly. And so it is quite possible that one of these two wrote the book of Hebrews, but it is beautiful. The author mentions that the people that went before us, who died in the faith, there are many of them that you and I used to know, with whom we lived here on earth, and they are there already. We are surrounded by them. And while we still continue in our earthly life, we are not alone. They cheer us on. We are the church militant. They are in the church triumphant. There is no direct contact between the two, but the cross is our connection. It is God Himself who is with them and with us, day in, day out. And they push us forward. They said, "We shed our blood, we were martyred, our faith we bartered." And they say, "Your timid footsteps lengthen." So if you're going to walk by faith, get a cardio out of it. Make that heart pump. Put in your effort. Don't live timidly. That's what they are saying to us. Like us, they in the church triumphant are part of the Una Sancta, the one and holy Christian and apostolic church of all times and then of all places. Some are already with God. We are still here. The Una Sancta is the communion of all believers. And in celebrating Holy Communion, in the preface, the pastor says, "And now, with angels and archangels and all the company of heaven." Who is the company of heaven? Those are the saints that marched before us, that proclaimed the gospel between Christ and us so that we got it too. And you and I go out and proclaim the gospel to the world so that when he comes again in glory, they are ready. Let us make sure that our work is done by the time our dear Savior comes back as he promised. The church triumphant is busy in heaven, proclaiming the glory of God to the heavenly realms. I don't know what is in store for us. To whom are we going to be preaching in heaven? To the powers and authorities of the air, as Paul says to the Ephesians? Like old Dr. Rotman, I say, das weiß man nicht. That one doesn't know. There are some things that we don't know, but I doubt that the church triumphant is completely idle. The church triumphant is the vibrant, pure church, innocent, without blemish, in paradise and bliss. That is what is in store for you and me. But meanwhile, we are church, the church militant. And the church militant militates. The word military is derived from that same root. A church that is embattled. A church that is in the battlefield every day. A church that fights the enemy. That fight started very early. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fell into sin. Then one of their sons killed the other. And so it progressed throughout the history of the Old Testament. And when Jesus appeared, he was only 8 days old, and Herod already started to kill him, or tried to kill him, and he had to flee into Egypt. It is all part of our gracious Father's plan, I know, but the church militant cannot afford to take it easy, to let down her guard. The church militant is embattled. And we continue to fight these battles. Already in the first century after Christ's ascension, there were all kinds of heresies, attacks on the divinity of Christ or on the person of the Holy Spirit as being a person of the Holy Trinity. There were false gospels written. There were false psalms written. People tried to aggrandize themselves by revealing secrets that were just between them and Christ. Sam Yokel wrote a gospel according to Judas. What's wrong with that? The gospel came out in the year 270 of our era. Judas was dust already by then for 240 years. So the church militant is constantly under attack. There are some countries in the world that don't want anything to do with Christ. And we expose our missionaries to danger when we let escape in the internet, for example, that missionary so-and-so was here from China, our great commerce partner. They have thousands of people sweeping the internet every day. This is according to one of our missionaries there, that look for keywords or tag words that would lead to the identity of a missionary. Our missionaries in China are not known to the Chinese government as missionaries, but as second or as teachers, or English as a second language teachers, as health workers, and so on. They do not welcome us, as does not North Korea and parts of Africa, like the Congo, or parts of the Congo, and so on. So we face opposition, no less than Jesus himself did. How often did they tear into his sweet heart and tear it apart by trying to trip him and trick him into saying things that they could use against him. It's a fierce battle, but we will conquer because our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ himself, conquered. He conquered over death and the grave, and he gives us the victory. So these battles here are really only exercises of the gospel. They have already their ending determined. Our battles will end up in conquest, in victory. There is no doubt about that. So when we go into these battles, let us think about those that went ahead of us. This author of Hebrews is so beautiful. Listen to this. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. So faith holds on to those things that were promised to you that you don't have yet. Later he says, those all died without receiving what they were promised. But they connected the promise and to their faith. They believed the promise of God. You and I too walk by faith. The minister tells us all the time that heaven is waiting for us. But nobody that went came back to tell us about it. That, amigos, is faith. You have to believe. It's not an option. You accept the things that were told you. Then he tells us, by faith Noah built an ark. By faith Abraham went when called. By faith Abraham, even though he was past the age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father. By faith Isaac blessed Jacob. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's two sons. By faith, Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. By faith, Moses' parents hid him. By faith, Moses refused to be known as a son of Pharaoh's daughter when he was grown up. By faith, people passed through the Red Sea. By faith, walls of Jericho came down. And then he says, and what shall I say more? I do not have time. He is exasperated at the number of people that are examples of faith. He says, and what shall I do more? I have no time to tell you about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, shut the mouths of lions, administered justice, gained what was promised, who quenched the fury of the flames, who escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith. Yet none of them received what they had been promised. And then chapter 12 starts with a word that is not a word. If I say apple, you can't imagine an apple. If I say book, you can't imagine a book. Chair, that means something. But if I say therefore, you say, huh? Therefore is kind of like a grammatical error that points to something in the past. All these lived by faith. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off sin that so easily entangles and focus on the race marked out for us. And for that reason, today we talk about them, the great cloud of witnesses that surrounds us and cheers us on from the bleachers, the spiritual bleachers. battlefield of the church. Examples of faith around us, within our families, within our congregation abound. Just think about them. How people faithfully devoted their time to the study of the Word of God and lived their faith. These are concrete examples in the book of our memory up here that we can now imitate and follow. And the torch has been passed. They are gone. They are no longer proclaiming the gospel here on earth. But you and I have that task. The church militant does not rest. The church militant continues to proclaim the gospel. The author of Hebrews in chapter 4, way in the beginning, talks about a rest for the people of God. There is now a Sabbath rest for the people of God. But then he says that the carcasses of those that did not believe in God are still on the desert floor. I find it interesting. He uses a deprecating word, carcass. We associate carcass with some very badly decomposed animal. And he uses that word to describe those that did not believe in Moses and in God that had promised the promised land to them. They wanted to go back to Egypt. For that reason, they stayed right there. Only their children who believed the promise, those that were afflicted by the same problems, sin or snakes, as depicted in the account of Exodus. The snakes were biting them and they were jumping all over the place. When Moses erected a serpent of bronze, those that believed in Moses, that if you look at the serpent of bronze, you will not die. They did not die. They believed God's promise. You and I, are we in? Do we believe without doubting the promise that God is going to take us to the promised land, to paradise? Only the children of the Israelites made it. The whole world is still full of unbelievers. And you and I have the privilege to go and share with them Christ. Not to earn heaven ourselves, that's done, but to grant heaven to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which is greater than all human understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. Let us stand for prayer.